Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And I praise God. God is great. God is wonderful. God is good. John chapter number 4. We've been preaching around the subject since January on lifting our voice. For the last 12 months in our country, our nation has heard from everybody, from everywhere, about everything. And I promise you, nothing they said yesterday corresponded to what they said the day before. And in the morning, they'll issue another statement, and it won't make any sense no more than it did today. We're listening to conflicting reports on every side. We've heard from everybody, from everywhere, about everything. But I think this morning, our nation needs to hear from the church. The pillar and the ground of truth. A voice of light in a dark world. A voice of reason and in an insane world. A voice of hope and gladness in the midst of a world full of defeat. The Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know why it says that? Because the redeemed are the ones that really have something to say. And all we have to say is what our Lord said, and that is enough. And we need to lift our voice. A voice of testimony, a voice of witness. Somebody said, what is a witness? Well, he was somebody that was there. He saw it. Hallelujah. And he can tell you all about it. I wonder if there's anybody in this room this morning. You've met Jesus Christ. He's your Lord. He's your Savior. You know it. You met him. Glory to God, you was there when it happened. You can tell us all about it. And I'm glad this woman in our text, the woman at the well, had her life changed. And she left her water pot and went home with a river in her soul and started lifting up her voice. And God, through the voice of experience, wrought a mighty revival in a wicked day. Let's read about it. John chapter number 4, our text. Let's break in the reading in verse number 28. Then the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith unto the men, come, see a man. And I want to preach right there for about 30 minutes. And I might come back in what they call the appendix here in a minute. But she said, come see a man. You know what she's doing? She's lifting up her voice. Her voice of experience. Her voice of witness. She's not talking about something she heard. She's not talking about something she read. She's not talking about something that happened to somebody else, children. Praise God, she's talking about something that had happened to her. Lord have mercy. There's a lot of things today and a lot of subjects I probably could not intelligently discuss with you. But if you want to talk about old time, blood bought, Holy Ghost wrought, heaven-bound, hell-proof salvation. Scratch off a piece of real estate and let's talk a while. When it comes to old-time religion, then I know what you're talking about. She said, come see a man which told me all things ever I did. Hey, I love what she said. He didn't tell her all things she did, but she felt like her heart had been bared open to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Pick up the reading again, if you will, in verse number 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city, say this line out loud with me, believed on him. Who is the him? Jesus Christ. The water of life. And many of the Samaritans in that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. Here it is. He told me all that ever I did. Verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come to him, They besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. Look, verse number 41, say it with me. And many more. Wouldn't you love to see that happen in Clayton County, Georgia today? Wouldn't you love to see that happen in the state of Georgia today? Wouldn't you love to see that happen in the United States of America today? Wouldn't you love to see this happen all over the world today? That many more believed. I'm glad there is no limits to who and how many God's saving grace can reach. And the Bible said in verse 41, and many more believed because of his word. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy word, for we have heard him ourselves. And know that this is, I like this, indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. You remember the other Sunday night when I told you that John the Baptist had been so faithful in lifting his voice that at the baptism of Jesus, God spake with his voice. Well, here it is again. This little woman had been so faithful since she met the water of life to testify, to witness, to lift up her voice, till they got to come and hear the voice that made the difference in their life and in hers. May I say to you this morning, if you know Jesus Christ, you have a story to tell. If salvation has ever come to your life, you have a testimony. You say, well, Brother Joe, I just don't have the gift to talk to people. Well, that depends on what we're talking about. I've never met a woman that didn't have the gift to talk to people. And brother, I love the way they do it. They do it like a preacher. They do it with their hands. While the average woman in this room, if we tied your hands up, you'd be mute. You couldn't say a word. And I'm telling you, brother, if we can talk about politics, and I really wished you wouldn't because I get nauseated. If we can talk about sports, if we can talk about our grandchildren, if we can talk about our investments, the economy, the world scene, then surely those of us that have had a drink of living water from the fountain, my Lord, that God opened up at Calvary, surely we have a song to sing and a story to tell, and a testimony to give, and a personal experience witness that we have met the Master. We come to John chapter number 4 this morning, and we see the woman from Samaria. She's called the woman at the well. There are several things this morning in our text about her life I want you to see. Number one this morning, I want you to see that her longing was satisfied. The Bible said it is the sixth hour. In other words, it is high noon when most everybody else is in the shade, evading the hot, the heat of the sun. But yet this woman comes when nobody else is going to be there to draw her daily water from this well. Now someone said, why would this woman come when nobody else was there? You see, she had several problems. Number one, she was born on the wrong side of the tracks. Number two, she had lived a very wicked life. And those Pharisees and those people that thought they were better than sinners didn't want anything to do with this lady. So she thought, if I go and nobody's there, I won't have to face the scorn and the snarls and the insults of my wicked life. She knew she had lived a wicked life. She knew she is living an open, sinful adultery. She realizes that her reputation has preceded her. She realizes that her name and her family's name had been tarnished. And she realizes that she's the blunt end of all the dirty pharisaical jokes. She realized today that sin had took her farther than she wanted to go. She realized that sin had kept her longer than she wanted to stay. And she realized that sin had cost her a whole lot more than she wanted to pay. That was a thirst, that was a hunger, that was a longing in her soul. You say, well, Brother Joe, surely we know that because she's going to water, to the well to draw the water to satisfy her thirst. I mean, tell you something this morning, it was more than a physical thirst. It was more than a drink of natural water that was going off in her soul. It was a much greater thirst. A thirst that only a relationship with God can feel and satisfy. You got to remember something this morning, that man was created in the image of God. And therefore, there's a place in every man's life that's reserved for God and God alone. There's a place in your life that God has reserved for himself. And you will never be complete. You will never be whole. You will never be satisfied until you come into that relationship with God. And he feels that longing. And he feels that void. And he feels that chasm that's dead in your soul. And I'm not trying to be ugly to you this morning, but you can drink all the liquor you want to drink. You can smoke all the pot you want to smoke. You can take all the drugs you want to take. You can participate in all the sin you want to participate in. But when the sin runs out, the fun runs out, the pleasure runs out, and the dope runs out, the liquor runs out, the sex runs out, and all kind of rebellion runs out, that longing, that void, that emptiness will always be there. And by the way, people say, I don't understand why people do the things they do. I hear a lot of old people say, well, these young people's lost their mind like you didn't. These young people have lost their mind. You see all this stuff they're in. Why in the world is these young people live the way they live and do like they do? They live like they live and do like they do. Just the reason, the same reason why you live like you lived and did what you did before you met Jesus in your life. There is a chasm. There is a void. There is an emptiness that's got to be fulfilled through a relationship with God Almighty. I was riding down the road the other night trying to stay awake. And so I turned the radio on, turned it up full blast, rolled all my windows down and just trying to stay awake. And I came across a talk show. I didn't know people were that messed up. Evidently, I've lived a sheltered life. If you want to find out how bad our society is off the rails, listen to a radio talk show after 12 o'clock or go to your local Walmart after 12. They come out of the woodwork. And I've never, this radio announcer got up there, he said, now listen folks, I'm going to open up line number 3. And whatever problem you got, call me, talk to me about it. We'll talk it out. Come on. I don't care what your problem is. Just call. You got questions. I got answers. I thought, oh boy, if you ever pastored a Baptist church one time in your life, you wouldn't open up that can of worms. But boy, they started calling. I've never heard such stuff in all of my life. I thought, how in the world does somebody get that messed up in their life? And I just want to say this to all of you in a blank statement. If your wife runs off with your daddy, in the name of God, don't get on the radio and tell everybody about it. Son, about halfway through that program, I did what Fred Sanford did. I love him. He grabbed his heart and said, Elizabeth, this is a big one. I'm coming home. I couldn't believe what all they were involved in. And boy, about that time, that radio announcer come back. He said, quit calling. Quit calling. You people are crazy as loons. Quit calling. I've never heard of such in my life. I don't have any more answers. I don't know what to tell you. I'm going to have to go take four Valium before I can go to sleep tonight. Boy, I've never called a talk show in my life, but I wanted to call so bad. And say, Bubba, punch me through to line number three. Tell them to call back. They got questions, I got answer. You see, his problem is they got questions, he had answers. I got this. You got questions, I got the answer. And his name is Jesus Christ. The rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the bride in the morning star. I mean to tell you, liquor can't satisfy the longing in your soul. Drugs can't satisfy the longing in your soul. Premarital sex cannot satisfy the longing in your soul. And dead, man-made, lethargic, apostate religion can't satisfy the longing in your soul. But there's a man by the name of Jesus who's the water of life and the bread of life and the resurrection and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And he died at Calvary. And he opened up an artesian well of salvation. And Jesus Christ is right for what's wrong in your life. And if you're longing, if you're searching, if you're hungry, if you're thirsty, Christ is still the answer. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Woo! Her longing. Her longing. She wasn't born right. She hadn't behaved right. Because there's something void and missing in her life. You say, Brother Joe, what has that got to do with us? I'm here to tell you, all of us this morning are born sinners. Someone said, what have I got to do to be a sinner and be in need of a Savior? Just be born. We were born into this world sinners and under the condemnation of God. You say, well, what have I got to do to get saved and get fulfilled and get all of that guilt taken away? Get born again. And let me say this to you this morning. No man, nowhere, from no religion has ever been able to save themselves. I can't save myself. You can't save yourself. Peter, James, and John, and the Apostle Paul, and John the Revelator could not save themselves. And Steve can't save himself. And Jerry can't save himself. And Larry can't save himself. And Mickey can't save himself. And Tom can't save himself. And Danny can't save himself. And Shane can't save himself. I'm telling you, Susie can't save herself. Belinda can't save herself. Janet can't save herself. Tammy can't save herself. Loretta Olin can't save herself. I'm here to tell you, nobody can save themselves. You must come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fountain of mercy, the Savior from sin. The longing is satisfied when they get a drink of the living water that comes from the wells of salvation. Her longing. I see as she sits on that well, number two, notice her learning. She thinks nobody is going to be there, but somebody was there waiting on her. Now the world would say, boy, wasn't that some good luck? Good luck, nothing. This is sovereign, providential, up ahead dealings. Because in the chapter number four, when it opens up, Jesus says, I know we're in Galilee and I know we're going up to Jerusalem, but I want to take a detour. You mean in this hot? Yep, I want to take a detour. I want to take 285. And I want to go through Samaria. And they said, well, what do you want to do that for? He said, I need to. He said to those disciples, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Well, Jesus, that's out of your way. Lord, I'm about to run right here. I'm going to tell you something. It is never out of God's way to satisfy the thirsty soul. Lord, one of our precious members called me just to crying yesterday. First thing I'd have heard, oh, preacher, I hate to bother you. Oh, you're not bothering me. I said, call me today. Call me at 1 o'clock in the morning. Call me at 4 o'clock in the morning. You'll either find me wake reading or going to the bathroom. Say amen right there. I said, keep on a calling. Keep on a calling. You never bother your pastor. You never bother your friends. Friends that are your friends, you can call them anytime. But I'm going to tell you, there's one you'll never inconvenience. There's one you'll never interrupt his schedule. There's one that'll never tell you he's too busy. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked out of his way. He walked in the heat of the day because he knew in his omniscient mind there'd be somebody waiting on the well. Let me just stop and say, God knew you would arise this morning. He knew you'd have breath to breathe this morning. He knew your feet would be directed to this church. He knew a man of God would stand in this pulpit and tell you, you got problems, Christ has solutions. You got questions, Christ is the answer. If you need joy, he's joy unspeakable. If you need life, he's life more abundant. If you need peace, he's peace that passeth all understanding. He's the good shepherd. He's the door, the way, the truth, and the life. God, let you come today to hear this message. Jesus Christ is still the Savior and the hope of the world. She walks up there thinking nobody's there. And man, she thinks them women's going to give her a hard time. Bringing up her past, bringing up her sin. Of all people, that was a man. And every man in that woman's life had abused her. Every relationship with the man she had was illicit and fleeting. And there was only one thing in mind, the gratification fleshly lust. Boy, I guarantee you the devil jumped on that old girl's shoulder and said, turn around, go home. Turn around, go home. You think facing them women this morning would have been bad. Now there's a man on the well. Oh, but my God, there's something on the inside. Whew. That won't let her go home. There's something on the inside that won't let her turn around and go back. There's something on the inside. You know what it was like. You remember that, don't you? Sitting there in that church, and boy, them people sang, and then people prayed, and then people shouted, and that man of God began to preach, and something got to pulling at you. Son, something got to wooing you, and the devil jumped on one side and said, oh, you can't go down that. No, no, no. Turn. But aren't you glad that pull was greater than the hell and the satanic forces of the devil? And I see that woman, she looks and she thought, oh my goodness, if them women were going to, of all things, there's a man at that well, and that's the last thing I need is another abusing situation. But finally she walks on up to that well. But she's not there 5 seconds. Oh, as she looks in the eyes of this man. And he looks different than all the rest. He is different than all the rest. There's no lust in his eyes. There's no abuse in his life. There's no overpowering in his eyes. It's the look of mercy. It's the look of grace. It's the look of love. And you know what I love about this? Lord have mercy. He even initiates the conversation. He even initiates the conversation. He said, give me a drink. Give me a drink. She said, sir, do you realize I'm a Samaritan and you are a Jew and Jews have no dealings with us, half-breed Samaritans? Don't you know I'm a sinner? I've lived ungodly. Most people like you don't have anything to do with me. Why do you ask me, sir, to give you a drink as low down as I am? He said, honey, if you knew who was asking you to give him a drink, you'd turn it around and ask him to give you a drink. She said, how can you give me a drink? This well is deep. Boy, she got it right there, didn't she? She said, this well is deep. Jacob, our forefathers, dug it. and you don't even have anything to draw with. Boy, I'll tell you, if I was Jesus, I'd have prayer faced it like this. I'd have said, sweetheart, I don't have a pot and I ain't got a bucket and I don't need this little well. I got a well you've never seen. I got a bucket you've never seen. He said, let me tell you what, sister, you drink of this water and you'll thirst again. But I am the living water, and you're going to drink of this water. You will never thirst again. She said, let me drink. Let me drink. She said, if you, Lord have mercy, somebody help me right there. She said, if you can do something in me where I won't have to come back here no more. She said, do it. If you can satisfy that longing and messed up my broken life and look beyond my sin, look beyond my past and see my need, let me have it. And I'm glad Jesus reached down in a bucket of mercy and he dipped in a well of grace and he gave her a drink of water that satisfied her thirsty soul. I wonder if there's anybody in this room this morning. You remember the time and the place when you got a drink of God. You got a taste of God. You got an experience with God. And God did for you what nobody else could ever do. I love her learning. It's in three stages. She looks at him and said, you must be a prophet, because you know all things. She said, wait a minute. I believe it's deeper than this. Are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the one they've been predicting since Genesis 3:15 for the last 4,000? But son, well, glory. Let me tell you where she really stepped out of darkness into life. Oh, yes, he is the prophet of God, and he knows all things. Yes, he is the Messiah, the chosen one, the redeemer, the emancipator. But boy, you get down to verse number 42, the hat really comes off, the light really shines, and she discovers that he's more than the prophet. Well, glory, and he's more than Israel's Messiah. He is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Now, our hyper-Calvinist friends may hyperventilate a little bit right there, but take three deep breaths. It'll be good for you. Aren't you glad he is the prophet that knows all things? Aren't you glad he is Israel's Savior and Redeemer? But I wonder, you glad this morning that he is Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the Savior of the world? Aren't you glad at the well of salvation you were introduced to somebody that's the Savior of the world, not for just their sins and their sins, but all sin can be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. Her life, her learning. This is the closest thing I could find in the kitchen this morning to a water pot, so here's my water pot. Boy, she's got that water pot. She sets it up on that well. Begins to talk to Jesus about the living water. And when Jesus spoke to her, when Jesus satisfied her thirst, that's why I love my King James Bible. Here's an expression so beautiful. It said, and the woman leaving her water pot ran to tell everybody what had happened to her. I told Miss Arthur this last night. It's about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm trying to rehearse my sermon and she ain't interested. One of these days God's going to save her and she's going to get a hunger for the Word of God. Wouldn't you love to know what happened to certain things in the Bible after they were mightily used of God? I mean, Noah's Ark. And I know that guy in Kentucky means well, but that ain't the same one. I don't mind going to see it, but it ain't the same one. The Ark of the Covenant. What about them doors in Egypt that had blood put on them? What about that Ark of bulrushes that Moses, the little baby, floated in? What about, would you just like to see David sling? Whatever happened to the giant's head that he cut off and had mounted? Gideon's sword, the rod that was in Moses' hand, the manger Jesus lay in. What about the cross? You ever thought about what happened to that cross? What about that garment that was beaten, soaked with blood that night on Calvary? How would you like to go talk to that stone that was rolled away on Easter Sunday morning? You say rocks can't talk. There's a place in Arkansas called Talking Rock. And they must, Brother Bear, they must be able to say something, because Jesus told them bunch of Pharisees, if you don't praise me, I'll get the rocks to cry out. And I don't know whatever happened to that little water pot. And this is what I told Miss Arthur. I believe the reason why God hid all of those things, knowing man, we'd have worshiped them. I can see a TV preacher now. Call 800-800-800-800. I have the pot that Moses ate out of. Put your number down. Put your number down. Call caller number 5. Caller number 5. Caller number 6. We have the rod that budded. Call 800-800-800-800. Come now. Come now. We got credit cards, people. We'll take IOUs. We'll take your mother-in-law. Pawn off one of your kids. We have people on our phones right now. Manning the phones right now. Oh, God. Here's David Sling. Who take a bid? Who take a bid? Who take a bid? Who take a bid? $5. I'm telling you, if we had all those little things, knowing human nature, we would worship the sling. We would worship the stone. We would worship the pot. But I want to tell you something, brother. We're not here to worship a bunch of rocks and a bunch of instruments and a bunch of elements of mankind. We worship the God that worked and the God that lives and the God that saves, the God that's alive forevermore. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Amen. There sat that little water pot. She don't need it anymore. Sitting upon that well is just an old bucket that she's left behind. And I don't know everybody in this room this morning, but I know some of you well enough to know there's a bunch of buckets that you laid down at God's well. You don't need that anymore. You don't need Mad Dog 2020 anymore. You got Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Some of you hippies from the leftover 70s. Lord God, I'm glad I don't have to wear them platform shoes anymore. I'd break my neck at my age. But I don't need any more Jamaica gold. I don't need any more reefer, no yellow poppers or black poppers or brown poppers. Hello? Hey, young people, you don't have to go to your bedroom and sniff paint cans and smell glue and sniff gasoline and drink dish detergent trying to get out of your mind. You don't have to sit on the side of your bed and cut your wrist and find a pistol and blow your brains out. You don't have to live like that, and you definitely don't want to die like that. There's a Savior who saves, who heals, who delivers, who emancipates, and he... And he's right for whatever is wrong in your life. Woo! Preacher, did she make a good decision? Well, she left an empty pot and went home with a river. She left an empty bucket and went home with a river. Her long and her learning, number 3. Her leaving, number 4. Notice her labor. She left that water pot and went back to all of them 5 men, and the last one she's still living in adultery with, found every one of them and told them what had happened to her. Boys, take that clock down. It's about to get a hold of me. No, don't. When you first meet this woman, she's doing everything she can to be hid from humanity. But now, she's got a case of Holy Ghost boldness. And she cannot be silent. She cannot remain in the shadows. Well, glory. Boys, don't try to follow me with that camera. Just keep it on that pretty pulpit. I'll be back in a minute. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come see a man. I'm looking for young people because you old people can't move that fast. Bill, if you think you keep up with me, come on, honey. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come see a man. Not you, Roland. It'll take 30 minutes to get there. Come on. Come on. Come see a man. 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 Oh, I went to the well this morning with an empty bucket and a wrecked and a ruined life and a sordid past. But he gave me a drink of living water. He satisfied my thirst. He calmed the demons on the inside. He forgave me. He emancipated me. He redeemed me. Never met nobody like him. Come, come, see a man. Woo! And all of them believed. Well, glory. Boys, go get you somebody. Go get them. Bring them with you. Tell them to come see a man. Don't go get no pretty girls. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come on, Papa, you can make it. Help him up, son. Roland, we need your walker. Come on up here, son. Come see a man. Come see a man. Come, go, boys, go get somebody. Go get you some folks. Go, come see a man. Woo! Come see a man. Oh, Lord Wesley, you remember that morning when God saved you? You got up from that room watching that man preach on television. Hung you over hell. And boy, you don't need that old man anymore. You don't need West Texas Bar and Grill anymore. You got HBT, Harvest Baptist, High Octane Tabernacle. And by the way, the kind of religion we preach around here don't have no spark knock in it. Say amen. High octane, high meter today. You remember when God got a hold of you. You remember when the Lord saved you. You remember, hallelujah, when a bucket of salvation from the land of eternal day swept out your soul. And thank God, you may not be what you ought to be, but hallelujah to the Lamb of God, you're not what you used to be. Satisfied in Jesus Christ. And the next thing you know, in one of the... And the next thing you know, a revival breaks out in the most least unlikely place, Samaria. Bunch of half-breed, no count, made fun of people that were born with an inferiority complex, were nothing. Oh, but she met everything. Everything I need to make me happy. I have Jesus to show me the way, for he saved me and gave me life eternal. And now I have it. Well, glory. I'm glad, ladies and gentlemen, this world's got problems and they're in sin and it's going to hell in a handbasket. But lift your voice. Lift your voice. Hallelujah, what a Savior. What a mighty God. Blessed Redeemer. Come see a man who's right for what's wrong in your life. Thank you, boys. Did you see what these guys did? I started out with one. Then I got four or five. Then I wound up with 10.5. Brandon, you count for a half. 10.5. You know why? Because they just got to saying. I'm going to tell you something. Politics is not the answer. Humanism's not the answer. Communism is not the answer. Socialism is not the answer. Stupidism is not the answer. Christ. I know we got to close, and I'm going to, but I wrote this early this morning. The reason why I don't like to read when I'm preaching, I don't want you to think I'm reading something I got off of the internet. Amen. I didn't want you to think I was reading one of CT's weak sermons. Say amen right there. I wrote this early this morning. Come into a book near your Christian bookstore real soon. Are you ready? Come see a man. All right, when I point to you, and it's going to take a little participation. When I point to you, I want you to say it real loud, come see a man. All right, you ready? In chapter number 1 of John's Gospel, who's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Chapter number 2, a man that saves the best to last because he turns the water into wine. Chapter number 3, who is the gift of God of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Chapter 4, who satisfies the thirsty soul. Chapter 5, who's right for what's wrong in your life. Chapter 6, the one who walks on the troubled waters of your soul. Chapter 7, the one who gives a river of living water. Chapter 8, the one that sets the captive free. Chapter 9, that gives sight to the blind. Chapter number 10, the good shepherd that gives his life for the sheep. Chapter 11, the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth on me, though he were dead, whoo, yet shall he live. Chapter number 12, the lifted up Savior that draws all men unto himself. Chapter number 13, the master who washed his disciples' feet. Chapter 14, the mansion builder who promised to come back to get us. Chapter 15, the vine who gives life to all the branches. Chapter 16, the one that went away and sent another comforter. Chapter 17, the great mediator, the daysman that prays for his own. Chapter 18, the sinless one at Pilate's hall that was found guilty in the first degree. Chapter 19, the one on Golgotha's hill that cried, "It is finished." The one in chapter number 20 who rolled the stone away and said, "I'm he that liveth, and I was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." Chapter number 21, the one that invites his chosen people, "Come and dine." Oh, listen to this. The one and only. Say it. I'd like to hear you say it. Let's do it in harmony. Let's do it again. Woo! You ready? Let me tell you who he is. John 21, you ready? Come see the one and only Lord Jesus Christ. That if everything he ever did was written in books, the whole world could not contain the volume of the books that should be written. His name is Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He saves, satisfies. Hallelujah. What a Savior. At 12:30 last night, I had all I could stand. I went, "Whoa!" Julie said, "What's that all about?" I just said, "I felt a surge of the Holy Ghost hit me from the top of my head to the sole of my feet." I'm not talking about your pastor this morning. I'm not talking about Harvest Tabernacle this morning. I'm not talking about some religious figure this morning. I'm talking about God's darling Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Water of Life. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. I'm glad he is the prophet. I'm glad he is Israel's Messiah. But I'm glad he's Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world.